Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
All right, Wilbon, back in the attic. Here we go. Let us start with the NBA. Mark Berman of the New York Post has a story in which he says the NBA really is going to want to crown a champion this year. A lot of scenarios are out there in play. One of them has all the teams staying in the same city, playing all the games in the same spot, all the playoff games, no fans in the stands. The series themselves, Mike, could shrink to say two games out of three. Las Vegas has obviously been mentioned because there are so many hotels. Also Atlantic City. Also, if I have this right, Orlando and the Bahamas. Is there anything in this which particularly intrigues you?
Tony, intrigues, I don't know. I mean, I've been to Summer League as recently as this summer, this past summer in Las Vegas. And it's certainly interesting to have all the teams. Obviously, you don't really have the stars unless they're just coming to watch, like, you know, LeBron will pop up and Kevin Durant, and they'll watch the teams they're playing for, the young guys who are trying to make the team or impress. And, you know, I mean, there's a certain coolness to it when it's Summer League. I mean, the playoffs, I guess it could have that sort of cachet. I mean, Vegas and the Bahamas are the only ones that when I hear this sort of make any sense. And I mentioned this to you yesterday about Vegas having been that floated and certain people shoot it down and certain people embrace it. Tone, I don't know. Look, we're so far out still that I don't know. Maybe they can have actual in-arena playoff games. Maybe not. And the NBA has to prepare for everything. So I guess intrigue on a 1 to 10 scale, maybe a 4. What about you?
Yeah, well, I will watch it. I mean, there's no sports. If they put without fans, I'm going to watch this. But I will say this. I think 2 out of 3 is very exciting, but it wouldn't work for me on a final. You'd have to give me at least 3 out of 5 in a final situation. And I would feel like, Mike, because of the Summer League experience, I would feel this is sort of like Summer League, sort of a scrimmage of sorts. It would not have the grandeur to me of what the NBA ought to have for a championship. And I might get a little bit afraid, Mike, that they were just doing it for money.
Tone, I you know what? I hadn't thought about that last part, and I would understand if that was the case. But, Tony, no, it's the kind of thing where you think people are going to say, well, that needs to have an asterisk. If you're not playing this, you know, home sites, home arenas, things that we associate absolutely with NBA playoffs or NHL playoffs, if they had to do something similar. Is it an asterisk situation? Are people going to dismiss it 10 years down the road? I don't think a league wants to get into it if it can anticipate that. But what the hell can we anticipate now anyway appropriately? It's hard to anticipate anything.
Let me get to the thing that I mentioned the other day. If you're talking about June or July or August, the NBA shut the whole league down based on one positive test for the virus. You put all these players together in June, July, or August, you really think there's going to be no test to a coach, a staff guy, a player, and it shuts down right there. It does.
Yeah. No, Tony, that's a great point. They're going to have to consider all things that we're not even thinking of right now. We're going to move to the NCAA for a second, which voted Monday to give an extra year of eligibility to all spring sport athletes, Tony. So that includes sports, including lacrosse, baseball, golf, softball, tennis, the spring sports. That's not the winter sports, so people who miss the end of their basketball tournaments and things like that are not included. But spring sport athletes, Tony, there are a whole lot of considerations in this too, which we'll get to. But do you and I, which we pound on the NCAA pretty regularly, do we have to give them a little pat on the back for this?
Yeah, we don't pound on the NCAA pretty regularly. You pound on the NCAA regularly. You compare them all the time to Barney Fife, which is a reference that nobody under 50 gets anymore. But in this particular case, they have done a very good thing, and they do deserve credit. But, and there's a large but here, we are not talking about revenue-producing sports. We're not talking about basketball and football where people get full scholarships. We're talking about a lot of walk-ons and a lot of people who maybe get partial scholarships for these spring sports, which means, Mike, that they or their families are going to have to go for an extra year of tuition. And you have to consider that. that a lot of people are going to say, you know, I'd love to stay and play, but I got to get on with my life because I don't have this kind of money.
You're right, Tony, on all those. But yes, as someone who pounds NCAA regularly, let me give them a standing ovation for this. They didn't choose the sports. They're saying the people who missed their entire season, particularly the seniors who missed their entire season, this is an option for you. It's not mandatory. And Tony, you're right. And how about the coaches who have to figure out, wait a minute, I recruited three freshmen who are going to come in here. And so now how are we going to further divide up scholarships? Although the NCAA and schools can help, the richer schools will have an easier time of this.
Mike, they got to allow people to transfer. If I sign up to play lacrosse someplace and the seniors come back and the sophomores and the juniors come back and I don't get time, you've got to let me go somewhere else, right? I mean, you can't hold me to that commitment if suddenly the system is so clogged that I get no playing time.
Tone, lots of problems like these, but it's worth it. It is worth. This is the NCAA doing the right thing first, and then we'll figure out all the bumps in the road down the road.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Let us turn now to pro football and Jameis Winston and his former teammate Chris Godwin, who caught all those passes on Tampa from Jameis Winston, who is now saying, "Hey, you're giving him too much blame." He told the boardroom. I'm not familiar with the work of the boardroom, but he told the boardroom that the receivers made a lot of mistakes, all right, including himself, and that some of these interceptions are not Jameis Winston's fault. With that in mind, Wilbon, do you agree with this assessment, and what sort of future are you seeing now in the NFL for Jameis Winston?
Tony, I'm glad I listened to a lot of Godwin's segment because, first of all, he's my new favorite guy. You know, in the NFL, Chris Godwin, for a lot of reasons, I'm sure we'll get to the Tom Brady one later. But, Tony, I just think he makes a great point. Look, he says during his segment, Jameis has made some bad judgments. Let's not try to absolve him of all blame here. But some of these things were receivers, including himself, making the wrong read. Some of it's the risky nature of that particular offense, which really is a gambler's offense, as we've talked about in relation to the people that he's worked with in the past, and Tom Brady's participation and whether they'll change that offense in Tampa coming up. So, Tony, there's more nuance in it and there's more subtlety in it than just, oh, these weren't Jameis's fault. That's not what he says. Quarterbacks get too much credit. They often get too much blame. And I think he makes some legitimate points in this.
There's a really cool little statistic that I was made aware of today that people who've had bad seasons, statistically bad seasons, maybe thrown a lot of interceptions or lost the ball. Bruce Arians, in his first year with Andrew Luck, in his first year with Carson Palmer, and obviously this past year in his first year with Jameis Winston, they all had this problem, which makes me fear a little bit for Tom Brady in his first year with Bruce Arians, because it's an offense that in your first year, you don't adapt to necessarily. I think Jameis Winston, 30 interceptions is terrible. He threw for 5,000 yards. Are you kidding me? He's a starter in this league in the right spot. Now, he's not going to be a starter this year. He'll back somebody up, but he'll get a chance. Everybody gets a chance. He could be Ryan Tannehill at another team, don't you think?
Oh, or better, Tony. But here's the thing. Winston just didn't have – he had the 130 year, which everybody obsesses over. Tony. He's got more turnovers almost every year in his five seasons than anybody else. And if you add the five, I mean, his turnovers are staggering. So it's not just with Arians. He's had this problem. He's going to personally have to get better. And again, Godwin wasn't avoiding that point, but it's one of the points that's probably getting lost in the larger discussion.
Let me just get to one thing that you mentioned earlier. Godwin, to his credit, gave Tom Brady number 12. Didn't hold him up for money. Gave him number 12 out of respect and took number 14 himself, which is not a great gesture.
Yep. All right, Tony, we're going to take a break.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, Social Security, is that a thing? Hey, Mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Wilbon, look who we got on the screen. We got Mel Kiper. Remember when we were at the Post? We probably have known Mel for 35 years. And I used to make fun of him in the column all the time. He said, leave Mel alone. Stop it. Leave him alone. Well, I came to love
Mel. He should never
Mel,
speak to you. And in those he should have days, stopped speaking to you decades ago.
So he didn't. He stayed with me. I had hair. I have no hair. You had hair. You have no hair. Look at Mel. Mel has won. He has won this. All right, Mel, we're going to start with this. Do you see Joe Burrow as the type of prospect that someone would make a huge offer to Cincinnati to go get?
I think Miami could, Tony. That's the rumor out there. They had the draft picks to do it. If they feel it's worth giving up a lot of picks to go get Burrow, and then does Cincinnati want to move off of there and allow somebody else to get the best quarterback in this draft, a franchise quarterback? The Bengals have had two eras of Super Bowl. Kenny Anderson, Boomer Esiason. Now they could have Joe Burrow. If I'm the Bengals, unless I get bowled over, I'm taking Burrow number one.
Wow. All right, let's stay with quarterbacks for at least one more question, Mel. How much stock, if any, do you put into the possibility, the gossip, that the Redskins could actually take Tua at number two?
I thought, Mike, about a month and a half, 2 months ago, that was possible, but without the true draft process and getting all the medical, everything you need to feel safe and secure with a quarterback with three lower extremity injuries and that serious hip injury, I think the Redskins take Chase Young. They need a pass rusher to go after Daniel Jones. And you think about Dak Prescott and Carson Wentz. In that division, you have three really good quarterbacks. You need Chase Young. I think the fact that we haven't had a true process has hurt too in terms of teams like the Redskins taking him, or maybe even somebody trading up to get him.
All right, so let me stay with Chase Young for a second. Mm-hmm. Do you see him as having, Mel, the kind of impact that Joe Burrow or a healthy Tua could have?
Yeah, he's still number one on the board, Chase Young is. And I said all along that had he been the game wrecker he had been in those final three games of the year when he came back from the suspension and he didn't record a sack, had he been dominant in those three games, the Bengals would have had a decision to make. But that was made easier by Chase Young being quiet in those three games and allowed him to be a Washington Redskin at pick number two.
All right, back to quarterbacks, Mel. I want to ask you about Utah State's Jordan Love. Mel, what is it that scouts didn't see during the two seasons in which he was a full-time starter that they look at now and say, oh, wait a minute, this guy could be really a player of impact, and he's going back up the board a little bit?
Yeah, he's always been. I had him in the first mock, like going in the late first round, and then of course he's way up there now. Senior Bowl week, he was impressive, as we thought he would be with the arm talent he has. But Justin Herbert Arden was more impressive. Game day, Herbert was MVP. Jordan Love wasn't. Until the year he had, he lost nine starters. But you can't excuse everything away. There were a couple games there. He was around 51% against two teams that were 6-18. Didn't play a challenging schedule. But 2 years ago when he had help, he was at 64% with a 31 touchdowns with six picks. So when he had talent, he did a great job. He's got great arm talent. I think, guys, he could go to the Raiders at pick number 12.
Well, let me ask you a general question about the draft and the times we're in, which you've already referred to. Do you think the restrictions on player personnel departments will really impact the success that certain staffs will have?
Not at all. And I go back to 1971 and 1974 when the Pittsburgh Steelers had arguably the two best drafts in the history of the draft. They got four Hall of Famers in one draft. Not benefiting from this crazy draft process where you test, retest, check, recheck, recheck again. Everybody, overanalysis causes paralysis. I think it's too long. The teams that I talk to that have well-stocked departments personnel-wise, they want to draft late February, March 1st. They don't want to draft late April. So I don't think it's going to have any impact whatsoever on teams that have a good idea of what they're doing year in and year out.
Okay, so we'll get you out of here on this. A lot of general managers have said they wish the draft would not go on as scheduled. Wilbon and I, we think it should go on as scheduled. What do you think?
I said all along, I think it should. A free agency did, and look what happened. It gave everybody kind of an escape and back to a little bit of normalcy in a world where anything but that right now is going on. So I think you can do this. We did it as a non-fan event back in the day. It was just a TV event. There's no reason why it can't be that now in a year that is unlike any other we will ever probably have to ever deal with.
Thank you so much, Mel. Nice to see
you,
the Chesapeake Bay Bridge in the background.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Happy time, kids. I go to the glasses to read. Happy 58th birthday, John Taylor. Taylor is best remembered as a San Francisco 49ers wideout on the other side of Jerry Rice. But Taylor is best known for his Super Bowl 23 winning touchdown catch from Joe Montana with just 34 seconds left in the game against Cincinnati. Wilbon, I was at that game in Miami. It was Taylor's only catch that day. The 49ers were down 16-13 at the time. What isn't largely known about Taylor is that he was cut as a walk-on from the Johnson C. Smith team. He tried out the next year as a walk-on at Delaware State. He made the team. He ultimately became a third-round draft choice. How many walk-ons go to two Pro Bowls?
Tony, you talk about self-made. I mean, this story isn't often enough told, but what also had to matter, I'm sure if we could ask him, is the fact that his coach, Bill Walsh, is the kind of guy who would go down to Mississippi Valley State and small schools, and particularly small black schools, and he would convene with the coaches and invite them to San Francisco. And he got familiar with the coaches and the players, old Jerry Rice and John Taylor. And wasn't Bill Walsh smarter than the rest of the gang?
Yeah, and that's why he's in the Hall of Fame, because he was. Happy anniversary, Birmingham Barons. On this day, 26 years ago, Michael Jordan reported to the White Sox AA affiliate to pursue his dream of playing baseball as he continued to mourn the loss of his father. Jordan played outfield and batted 202 as a minor leaguer. He wasn't Major League Baseball level, which isn't that surprising. Apparently, Tim Tebow isn't Major League Baseball level either. So when you get people like Deion Sanders and Bo Jackson and Dave DeBuscher, and they play two sports at the highest level, it ought to be appreciated. Jordan returned to the Chicago Bulls no worse for wear and won three straight championships, giving him a total of six.
You know, Tony, Michael Jordan often makes fun of himself with baseball. He does. But as I said to him, yeah, 51 runs batted in. 51! There are people who can play their whole lives and get to minor league baseball and play years and not have 51 RBIs, which Jordan had in 127 games. So there was some talent there. By the way, he stole 30 bases. I mean, he got thrown out a few times, I think 18, not Lou Brock. But you know what? To walk off the street and play professional baseball at that level, people should shut up if they get overly critical.
Not Crash Davis, though. Not Crash Davis.
Crash
Happy
Davis.
Trails to the lack of NBA competition. You want the NBA? You can have it on a video game. In the same way that NASCAR put its regular drivers behind the wheel of what used to be called a joystick and presented a simulated race, 16 NBA players will be doing the same thing in basketball, according to Yahoo, apparently starting this Friday and reportedly airing on ESPN. There'll be a players-only NBA 2K tournament. The specific players involved have not yet been named, but for example, Kevin Durant might play Trae Young. Wilbon, would you watch this?
Yeah, I'm going to have to watch it. I'm held captive by this in my house anyway. I don't play the video game itself, Tony, but my son, that's what he does. That's what he does. And let me just say this. The introduction, whenever it was, of former players to all these games, whether it's to Madden or 2K, it makes it much more interesting to me. But this will be followed and watched intensely. And yes, in my house, yeah, I will be kidnapped and forced to watch by a 12-year-old.
Do me a favor. Call me. Let me know how it ends. Because I won't be watching it.
I'll do that.